So we are in James chapter 2. Last week we saw the first 13 verses. And now we basically get into the most important passage in the letter of James, but at the same time the most controversial. Before we look at the text, as you know, perhaps the most significant doctrine of evangelical churches, Protestant churches, is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which basically separates us from every other religious group. The doctrine of sola fide. Martin Luther, the great reformer, had said that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls. In other words, he was saying that if a church, a religious group, does not hold to justification by faith alone, they're not a real church. They're an apostate church. They're a heretical church. What is sola fide? It means that a human being is declared right by God. God judges and delivers his verdict, and God justifies him, declares him to be righteous in his sight, not on the basis of any works that that person has done, but fully on the basis of the work of Christ on his behalf. And Christ's work on the cross, his perfect life, his perfect death, is applied to me through faith and through faith alone. And based upon the righteousness of Christ, God declares me to be righteous, not because of what I have done, but what Christ has done on my behalf. Now, every church, every religious group that denies the doctrine of justification by faith alone and teaches some kind of salvation or justification through faith and works, such as Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, any other church that calls itself Christian yet denies the doctrine of justification by faith alone, they respond with one verse. There is one verse that they believe demolishes the doctrine of justification by faith alone, and that is James 2:24. Look at the verse 2:24. James says, "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." There it is. There it is. They believe this verse destroys the Protestant Reformation. If only we had known this verse, we would have had it. We wouldn't have had all that trouble. They believe that this verse annihilates any Protestant theology, any Protestant church. Shouldn't even exist, because it is clear as a bell that man is justified by works and not by faith alone. I have had discussions with people on this subject where they have said to me, "There it is, James 2:24. That's it. So you're wrong." And I said to them, "Well, maybe we need to look at the context. Maybe we need to see what James is talking about." And they say, "No, the verse is self-explanatory. It's as clear as it can be. This is their verse. This is their mantra. James 2:24. This is their anthem. This is it." And so it's very important to know what James is talking about here so we can deal with any other group which denies justification by faith alone. Now, most of the time when an evangelical preacher preaches through James chapter 2, most of the time he basically sits there and defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone. He defends the gospel, and he spends a lot of time comparing what James is saying here to everything that Paul has said. And that's good and fine. It needs to be done. But the problem with that is he spends so much time explaining what James is not saying that we miss the force of what James is saying and what James is trying to teach us. So, what are we going to do? We're going to have two lessons. Today, I will defend the gospel. I will defend justification by faith alone. I will examine both what James says and what Paul says to see in their context what each one is talking about. And next week, having dealt with this, what I want to do next week is put it behind us. Say, okay, they're not contradicting one another. James is not denying justification by faith alone. Let's put that behind us, and next week we can focus on what James is trying to teach us, verse by verse. So, first thing that we got to do today is, how do we, I don't want to say reconcile James and Paul, because I think it was Spurgeon who said, you don't need to reconcile friends. Everything is, they're not disagreeing with one another. So how do we harmonize what James says with what Paul says? James says, 2:24, a man is justified by works, not by faith alone. Paul, for example, in Romans chapter 3, will say, after a long discussion of explaining the sinfulness of man, concludes in Romans 3:28, and he says, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. On the surface, it would seem as though Paul is contradicting James. On the surface. And even what complicates the matter even more is that each one of them appeals to a certain biblical figure to try and prove his point. And both of them appeal to Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says, look, he takes us to Genesis 15, and he says, what does it say in Genesis 15? Abraham believed in God, believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So he says, you see, Abraham didn't do anything. God declared him to be righteous through faith. Now you go to James, and James points to Abraham also, only he points to an event in Abraham's life which occurred 30 or 40 years later, the offering of Isaac. Look at James 2:21. James says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? So now we're getting even more complicated. When was he justified? Was he justified in Genesis 15 by faith? Or was he justified by works 30 years later when he offered up Isaac? Now there are many theories to try and explain what's going on here. There are some people who say, well, Paul wrote the book of Romans first, and James is writing to correct him. There are others who say, well, no, James wrote his letter first, which is true, by the way, historically. James wrote his letter first, and Paul wrote Romans to correct him. Others say, well, no, it's, neither one was trying to correct the other. Maybe they didn't even know about each other's writings. They just disagreed. And they had different theologies. First of all, I would find it very strange that James, if he is specifically trying to say that Paul was wrong, he never mentions Paul. Paul doesn't mention James in Romans. And we know that Paul does not have a problem naming names. He called out Peter when Peter was doing something he shouldn't have. But the main problem with all these positions is that they assume that the Bible is not inspired. They assume that they can be contradictions in the Bible. You can have people writing different letters in the Bible, and they have different theologies, who cares? Of course, if you believe, as I do, that all of Scripture is inspired and that it is from the Holy Spirit, we have to take these passages and see how they work together. Now, before I tell you how I harmonize these passages, I think we first have to deal with how do other religious groups who believe in some kind of works righteousness, how do they harmonize these passages? Okay? How does a Roman Catholic, how does a Greek Orthodox, how do they harmonize James with Paul? Because they take James chapter 2 at face value and they say, okay, we believe this. We believe what James is saying here, that you are justified by works and not by faith alone. So what do they do with everything that Paul says? What do they do with Romans 3:28, where Paul says, you're justified by faith without the works of the law? Here's what they do. They say that when Paul says that a man is not justified by works of the law, that is not a reference to all laws. That is a reference to Mosaic ceremonial laws, such as the sacrifices and the food laws and the purity laws and so forth. Laws that were fulfilled in Christ that we don't follow anymore. They say Paul is simply talking about religious, ceremonial, ritual laws, and those are the things that don't save us. But we still have to obey all of the moral laws. We still have to obey all the ecclesiastical laws in order to be saved through those works. You follow me thus far? Okay. What do I have to say about that? I reject that position. I reject that when Paul says works of the law, that he is simply narrowing it down to ceremonial laws. I believe that he's talking about all laws whatsoever, and let me tell you why. Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, there are many times that Paul does not simply say that we're not saved by works of the law. There are many times that he says works and just leaves it at that. Ephesians, we're saved by faith, not by works. 2 Timothy, we're not saved by any works that we have done. In Titus chapter 3, listen to this. In Titus chapter 3, he says, he saved us not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So the basis of our salvation, according to Paul, is the mercy of God, not any righteous deeds. He is not limiting it to Mosaic laws, but any righteous deeds that we have done. None of them can save us. Second reason that I deny that Paul is specifically talking about sacrifices and stuff like that is that in Romans chapter 3, Romans 3:28, where he says a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. This is at the end of 2.5 chapters of Paul explaining that all people are sinners. He's explaining that all people have broken the laws of God. And he concludes, since everyone has broken the laws of God, no one can be saved by following the law. We need to be saved through faith. But in those first two chapters, when he gives lists of people who have broken the law, what laws have they broken? He talks about idolatry, he talks about murders, he talks about homosexuality, he talks about hatred, and so forth. Those are not part of the Mosaic law. Those are moral laws. He's talking about any law. There is no law that can save us. We've broken the law, and therefore the only way to be saved is through faith. Let me give you a third reason why I deny the position. In both Romans and Ephesians, and other places, Paul says that we're saved not by works, so that no one can boast. That argument doesn't make any sense if we're only taking out a couple of laws, a couple of ceremonial laws. If you have this huge body of laws and you only take out a small portion of the sacrifices, but you still have a huge portion that you need to follow in order to be saved, how does that remove boasting? It doesn't. There's still all these laws that you need to follow in order to be saved. Listen to me. This is important. If there was only one law that you needed to follow, just one that you needed to follow in order to be saved, that means that if you get to heaven, you can say to Jesus, Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins, but the reason I am in heaven today and other people are in hell is because I did the one work that I was supposed to do. But Paul says there is no boasting, none, because there are no laws, whether ceremonial, moral, ecclesiastical, whatever, that can save us. Paul is saying that we are justified, declared right by God, only through faith in Christ, not by any works that we have done. So, having said that, is James contradicting him? Is James saying no? We need to do a bunch of works in order to be saved. Here's a question. Could it be that James is using the word justification in a different way. Could it be? We use words differently, the same word, differently all the time. If I, let me give you a word. Fire. What does that mean? It could mean fire that burns things. It could mean shoot, as in a firing squad. Fire. It could mean I am terminating a person's job. I will fire you. The word only has a meaning once you put it in its context. And the Bible, and you find this in the Bible all the time, with very important words. For example, take the word salvation. When I say salvation, a person is saved, what does that mean to you? That you would think, well, it means that he's redeemed, that he's had his sins forgiven, that he is saved from death, saved from hell, saved from the wrath of God. And that is true, that is the ultimate sense of the word. But sometimes in Scripture you find the word saved when a person has been healed from a sickness. In the original languages, you may not see this in the English translation, but in the original languages it may say that someone was sick and he was saved. And that doesn't mean that he was saved from hell, it means that he was saved from his sickness. Or you may find a person who was saved from defeat in battle, because he didn't die in battle, he was saved. How about this one? 1 Timothy 2:15 speaks of women who will be saved through childbearing. And you're like, what? If you take that verse on its own and ignore the context, you'd say, well, I guess there's two ways of salvation, at least for women. One is through faith in Christ, and another one is by having children. But that's absurd. That is not what it's talking about. Because you can't take one meaning of the word and read it into every time you see that word. And so the question is, could James be using the word justify in a different way from Paul? Both Paul and James use the term justification, but what is the context? What are they trying to say? What is Paul's concern when he writes Romans? What is James' concern when he writes his letter? That's what we need to look at. So first of all, why did Paul write Romans? What was his point when he wrote Romans? What was he trying to convey? What was he trying to communicate? Now, anyone who has read the book of Romans would say pretty clearly, Paul is trying to explain to us the way of salvation. He is trying to explain the gospel. He is trying to explain how a sinner can stand before a holy God. That is his whole point. And he gives a detailed explanation of the gospel, starting in chapter 1 all the way through for several chapters. That is the point of Romans, to explain how a person is saved, how justified before God. Is that James's concern? No, as we've been seeing for the past 2 months almost. James's concern is the importance of a Christian to live a holy life. That's his point. His point is, right from the beginning of the book, we saw in the first few verses that James is saying his concern is for us to be complete and mature Christians. At the end of chapter 1, he talked about how we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. His concern is for us to live a holy life and to demonstrate our faith through a holy life. He is not sitting and explaining to us how a man is declared right before God. That is not his context at all. So, since we have different contexts, I'd like to... We're not gonna go through every verse in James now, but we'll look at some big ideas in chapter 2, and next week we'll go through it verse by verse. But let's look at the text of James, just to get the main point. We're in chapter 2, verse 14. This is how this section begins. He says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Now this is James' concern. Okay, this is his question. And note the key word, what if someone says This is very important. I'm going to be pointing it out as we go along the text. What if a person says he has faith, but does not have any works? He says that he's a Christian. He says that he believes in Jesus, but he's not living like a Christian. Can faith save him? What faith? What kind of faith? That kind of faith that we've been just talking about. A mere empty confession of faith with no works. That's the kind of faith we're talking about. Can that kind of faith save him? And James's point is no. That kind of faith that is a mere empty profession of faith that does not result in a Christian life, that kind of faith does not save you. There are millions of people in the world who say that they're Christians, but they live like the devil. What does it say in Isaiah 29? God was speaking of the Jews in Isaiah's day, and he says, these people, they draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but in their hearts they're far from me. No one is saved simply by making a confession of faith. Now, making a confession of faith is good. You should. If God has saved you, you should declare it. You should declare the gospel and you should declare what Christ has done for you. But that alone is not enough. If your confession of faith does not lead to a changed life, James says, that's not real faith. That's not true faith. The reformers used to say that justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Let me say that again. Justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. What do they mean? Yes, you are declared righteous before God on the merits of Christ through faith. But when God saves you, he doesn't just leave you. When the Holy Spirit regenerates you, he doesn't just abandon you afterwards. He continues working with you and sanctifying you. There is a continuation in your Christian life when God saves you. And so if if you just look at that right there, there is absolutely no disagreement between Paul and James. Paul was saying the exact same thing. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2? We are saved by faith, not by works, but we are saved unto good works. Of course, what does he say in Galatians chapter 5? What's important is faith working out in love. Of course, we're saved by faith. But it has to have a result of good works in love. So there's no disagreement thus far between Paul and James. Look at verse 15. It says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What's his point? You have a person who, there's a person who's cold and hungry, and you say, oh, be warm and be fed, and then doesn't do anything. You have a person who says something, but doesn't do anything. That's the point. What is that? That kind of faith does not save. Verse 17, thus also faith by itself, and we're talking about a faith that is a mere empty profession of faith, that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Notice James's concern is to seek a demonstration of the faith. Show me your faith. I'll show you my faith. This is about demonstrating. How else can we know if someone has faith? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7? By their fruits you shall know them. The only way that you can know if someone is a Christian is by their fruits. Look, God knows the heart. God knows the moment you're saved. But we don't. I don't. I can't see inside your heart. The only way that you can know if Nico is a Christian is if you look at my life. Look at how I speak. Look at how I live. And determine, I see him living according to the Christian life. I see him living according to his confession. Yeah, so I guess he's a Christian. Or you may say, no, I saw him do that and maybe he's not a Christian. The only way that we can know is by seeing Now, God doesn't have that problem. How long does it take for God to figure out if you're a Christian or not? He knows automatically, because he knows your heart. But James's concern is among us, because he's saying, show me. You keep on telling me that you're a Christian, but I don't see it. Show me. Demonstrate it. James's concern is among ourselves, demonstrate our faith. And don't just have a profession of faith, but do good works. Look at verse 21. We're not going to be looking at everything. Look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Paul said that Abraham was declared righteous by God 30 years earlier in Genesis 15. James is not contradicting him. James is not saying, you know what? Abraham didn't have real faith for 30 years. And his faith actually kicked in when he offered Isaac 30 years later. That's not what he is saying. Abraham demonstrated his faith by offering up Isaac 30 years later. His faith was shown to be true faith by works. And he was justified by works, not before God. God had already justified him before men. He showed it. And there are some people I know who object to that, and they say, no, no, no. It can't be that he's demonstrating. It can't be that he's justified before men because there was no one there to see it. And I'm like, well, first of all, his son was there to see it, to see the faith of his father. And second of all, everyone who has ever read the book of Genesis has seen the faith of Abraham through what he did. So we get to verse 24. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. What's the context? The context is how a man is not how he's declared righteous before God, but how a person demonstrates his faith. That is his concern. Let me give you. I think this may help you to understand perhaps how the word justify is being used here. Let me give you a little example. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus gives this statement. He says, this is important. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus says, wisdom is justified by her children. What on earth does that mean? Wisdom is justified by her children. Is Jesus saying that wisdom is forgiven of her sins and cleansed and made righteous before God by having children? No. It's saying that wisdom is shown, proven to be real wisdom by what it produces. Okay? For example, if I need to make a decision, and I'm not quite sure if it's a wise decision or not, and I do it, and it turns out great, and it produces good fruit, then I can say, okay, it was a wise decision. The fruit proved that it was a wise decision. Wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom is proven to be true wisdom by her fruit. Okay? Well, James is saying, faith is shown to be true faith by works. A person is justified by works, is shown to be a true believer by works. And not by faith only. And when he says not by faith only, he's referring back to an empty, mere profession of faith. A man is justified by works. He is shown to be a true believer by his works and not merely by saying, oh, I believe. That is James's point. Which means there is no contradiction between Paul and James. There is no dispute between Paul and James. We need to stop taking Paul's words and reading them into James's text. Paul hadn't even written any of his letters when James wrote this. So a person is saved by the grace of God alone through faith. Let's look. James himself in chapter 1 had said that God brought us forth, gave us birth of his own will by the word of truth. James said that. We were saved through the word of truth by hearing the gospel. And believing it, not because of any works we have done. There's no disagreement here. We need to understand them in their context. We're saved through faith. But that faith is demonstrated and shown to be true and justified through works.